If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman hath taken in adultery, the very act. Whoops, that was John. Let's try this again. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it was withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on the good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing that they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit and no to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in honest heart and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret, and shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid, that shall not be known and become broad. Take heed, therefore, now ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Before I can ever call on the name of the Lord, I have to hear it. I have to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And there are some people that are here tonight who are Christians because of how they hear the word of God. There are some people that are here tonight that are not Christians, that are interested, and they're here because of how they hear the word of God and how they hear messages about Jesus. And then there are some people that are not here tonight, that have chosen not to be here tonight, because, again, of a different way in which they choose to hear things about Jesus. So I want to consider what Jesus says in Luke 8 and verse 18, that we ought to take heed how we hear, because it's going to make a world of a difference in this life and in the life to come. Now we have this parable of the sower, which is familiar to many of us, and really it's about hearing. And Jesus sums it up by talking about how it is about hearing. And so, as Brother Will just read for us, there is a sower that went forth to sow. Now, when we plant gardens and we raise crops, we usually have a certain field and we put furrows in it, we plow it up, and we plant the seeds in a certain line. That was not the typical way in which somebody over in the East, in those times, in Bible times, would plant. they would broadcast the seed by scattering it, and so it would fall on different kinds of soil because they had little pathways through the fields that were the wayside. They sometimes would fall on things that had rocks, rocky soil, or sometimes thorns were in certain places where it'd fall. And then some fell on good ground. And so you have the four different soils that the seed falls on when it is being broadcast. But I want you to notice that Luke 8 in verse 11 says particularly that the seed is the Word of God. And so when Luke 8 gives us this parable of the sower and talks about all the different responses that people have, I want you to remember that the defect and the difference is not in the seed. It was the same seed that was sown in all of these grounds, in all of these various types of soils. Now, it is true that people today that will distort the Word of God and teach something other than the Word of God can't really save folks because, again, the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God, and if you distort that, if you don't teach the Word of God, then you're not going to get pure Christians. But the point of Luke, in Luke chapter 8, is how we hear is really the difference. You have the same life-giving element as far as the seed being thrown onto the ground in all four cases. The difference is the soils, and the soils represent different kinds of hearts as they receive the Word of God in different ways. And so without further ado, I want to consider these four different soils, and I want us to examine our lives and see which one of these we fall into. Because I guarantee you that you will fall into one of these four groups. First of all, we have this wayside soil. And as I mentioned, there were these paths that people would take in the midst of the fields, and they were always trodden down by many people walking. And so this soil would be hard. This would be the hard-hearted people that were too busy with their own agenda to really take in what God wanted for them to take in. And so it never really even gets a chance to root. It is quickly taken by the devil before it even is able to get down into the soil and germinate. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, Paul tells Timothy about his experiences and what they're going to be as a preacher, and he says that foolish and unlearned questions you should avoid because you know that they gender strives. The reason I put that in there is there are some people, when it comes to God's Word, they're not really interested in hearing what they need to do in order to be saved. They're just going to strive with it. They're just going to argue about silly things. And the scribes and the Pharisees, to whom Jesus many times had great condemnation, were these type of people. I mean, they had all of these laws upon God's law, and they wanted everybody to just walk according to what they said rather than just following God's law. And they had some silly things that they argued about. They argued about, for instance, things as silly as, can a man wear his false teeth on the Sabbath day? Because that might be bearing a burden on the Sabbath. You see how silly those things were, and we could go into hundreds of things along that line. But it's interesting to me that in Matthew's account, in Matthew 13, in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, all three accounts of the parable of the sower come right after Jesus has had a confrontation with these scribes and Pharisees. So in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was criticized and his disciples were criticized because they were plucking grains on the Sabbath day, and they said it was unlawful for them to do that. Of course, they weren't harvesting a field. They were satisfying their hunger, and Jesus goes to Hosea 6 and verse 6, and he says, if you had learned what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And so they were not breaking God's law because they hadn't eaten in a few days, plucking just a few things of grain as they walked through the fields and eating it. But that was a transgression of the scribes and Pharisees' interpretation or their laws and not really God's laws. Again, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus cast out a demon and they can't deny it. And so they say, well, he cast out a demon by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And so they're trying to say that Jesus is somehow working by means of the devil. And then Jesus points out that a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. It just doesn't make any sense why the devil would be fighting against the devil. And then after that, even though they had already seen him cast out a devil, said, Lord, we want to see a sign from you, or Master, we want to see a sign from you. And so they wanted more and more proof. And no matter how much proof Jesus gave them, they really weren't in there to try to figure out who Jesus was and really follow him. They just wanted to destroy him, and that's what they had decided to do in Matthew chapter 12. In Mark's account, right before Mark 4, where you have the parable of the soils or parable of the sower, you remember that in chapter 3, there was a man that had a withered hand, and on the Sabbath day, Jesus was going to heal him. And he asked the Pharisees, he said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath to heal or to harm? And they wouldn't say anything, and he looked about them with anger. You see, their laws that they had made that wasn't part of God's law had actually caused people to not even be healed, even though, they were saying healing was off limits, even though that they would water their livestock, even though if somebody broke something, they would, you know, they would help that person. And so here they have all these crazy laws that they're trying to get capture Jesus with. And then you have Luke chapter 7, right before this that we read in Luke 8. And you remember that there was a Pharisee whose name was Simon, and he invited Jesus to his house. And there was a woman that was known to be a sinner in the village who came to this this gathering at Simon the Pharisee's house. And she cried and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And Simon thought in himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know that this woman's a sinful woman and he wouldn't let her do that. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Let's suppose there is a lender that has two people that he's lent to, and one of them owes 50 and another one owes 500, and he forgives both of them. Who do you think will love him more? And he said, well, I suppose the one that was forgiven the most. And then he mentioned how this woman had come here and washed his feet. And yet Simon didn't sit out any water for Jesus to wash his feet. And she wiped his feet and kissed him, kissed his feet. And he said, you have given me no kiss. You see, Simon was priding himself and thinking that he was so much greater than this woman. And Jesus showed a love for people. He looked at that woman probably like nobody else had looked at her. He saw potential in her life. He saw what she could be, instead of just looking down at her like many people had. And so we have all three of these occasions right before the parable of the sower where Jesus begins to tell this. And do you not see that these Pharisees and scribes, though they knew a lot about God's law, they didn't really let it penetrate their heart. They were hard-hearted individuals. And there are people that are hard-hearted when it comes to God's word. They have a particular agenda, and they're not there to really listen to it. There are people that shop for churches like they try on clothes. They will go to various congregations. They'll talk to various elders. They want to live a certain immoral lifestyle. They want to participate in a certain sin, and they're going to go to whatever preacher, whatever elder will accept that. See, they're not about truly following God's word. Their heart is hard, and they want some sort of religion that's going to make them okay in the eyes of men or make them seem all right rather than truly following God. And that's what these religious leaders were guilty of. They had a particular agenda. They wanted to be on top. They wanted to have power over people. And so Jesus could preach to them and show miracles to them all day long, and they would never get it. They would never let it get into their hearts because they would lose all power and all control if Jesus truly was who he said he was. And so because of that, the seed's never able to get in, never able to germinate. There are people that are like that today. They have a prejudicial heart. There are people, I heard about this preacher on, a friend of mine was listening to him on the radio, who does not believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Of course, that's a lot of the religious world. But he quoted 1 Peter 3 in verse 21, which is usually a verse that they steer away from. But this is how he quoted it. It says, the like figure whereunto baptism also saves us not. The putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You see, he moved the not over to try to say that baptism saves us not, right? And so you have a prejudicial heart that will not, they have an agenda and they will not truly take God's word for what it says. And so we need to make sure that we are not that, that we aren't just teaching and preaching the things that we've all heard without really examining them and making sure that we're honest with the Scriptures. We're not to be promoting any particular church doctrine or church agenda. We're simply to follow God's Word, let it go into our hearts and germinate, instead of just being prejudicial hearers of God's Word. Now, you have this second soil, which is the rocky soil. And Paul, in talking to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, not only talks about people that have silly questions, but he also mentions in verse 12 of chapter 3, "Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." These are people that initially are overjoyed with the news of the gospel. They think it's such a great thing, and they're willing to share it with other people. But you know, when we leave this room and we go out into the world and we try to talk to people about the truths that you find in the Bible, the world doesn't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to follow Jesus. And if you want to stand up for the Lord, you will know pressure. You will know persecution. You will know people that will fight back against you and say things about you and even mistreat you in certain ways if you want to stand up for what is right. And so these people that are the people that initially started to follow the Lord, but because too many things were kind of facing back at them, because they had to give too much up, or because the pressure was too strong, they gave it up. There are people that are in denominations today that try to just go with the crowd. They were once faithful members of the Lord's church, but the pressure was just too much to stand up for what the truth was on many things. And so they've kind of just gone away that is a little easier, that kind of goes along to get along. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Paul talked to the church at Galatia, churches of Galatia, many of whom had fallen away by the teaching of these Judaizing teachers. A big reason for that is there was so much pressure for the Jewish people who had become Christians to go back to Judaism, because many times they couldn't buy and sell, or they were disowned from their families, or they were persecuted in many ways. And so you have this early crisis in the church where you have people, because of the pressure and the persecution of standing on the gospel, they would give up and they would go back to some other religion that was not true. I think about what is said in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews is a book that is written to Jews. Some of them had already turned back and they were never going to come back. Some were thinking about turning back, and others were just becoming kind of taking a step back, and they weren't assembling the way that they should have. And in Hebrews 10, he addresses this group that has become a little bit lax and maybe is thinking about drawing back and going back into Judaism and giving up Christianity because of the pressures that were involved in being a Hebrew Christian. And he says to them in Hebrews 10, verse 32, the writer says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and will not tarry. Now if the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And so what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get these people to whom he's writing to realize is that you need to continue to have faith to the very end. You see, the Galatians suffered things, Galatians 3, verse 4, because they had followed Christ and given up Judaism. And he says to them in Galatians 3, verse 4, "Have you suffered so much in vain, so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" And what he means by that is, if you give up now, then all of your sufferings are going to be for nothing. You see, you have to persevere until the very end. You have to stand up even in the midst of afflictions, even in the midst of persecutions. You cannot allow the world and the pressure of the world to put your lamp out. to cause you to turn back and to go into the world or go into some sort of false religion that will just kind of salve your conscience a little bit, that you have a little bit of religion, but not really follow and stand up for the truth. You have to keep on keeping on, even if the world hates you. And so there might be some people that are like that. They maybe even come to services, but they don't let anybody in their workplace or anybody out in the world really know that they're Christians. They're not really going to take a stand for truth. And a lot of times, problems have happened in our society and in the church because people are not willing to stand up and suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. Now, you thirdly have this group that is known as the ones that are on thorny grounds. And notice here that it says in Luke chapter 8 that there are various thorns that may afflict an individual and that may crowd out the word of God in their lives. You see, these things aren't sometimes even bad in themselves, but they just take up so much time, they take up so much attention sometimes, that because of that, people fall away. Some of them are bad and evil in themselves, but you have here in Luke chapter 8 various thorns that compete with the word of God really taking root and flourishing in their life. Now, just like the previous soil, the rocky soil, there is initially, the word does get in there. But just like the rocky soil, when the sun comes up, the tribulation, it's burned up. This one is choked out by these thorns. And so Jesus describes in Luke chapter 8 those that fell among thorns in verse 14. And he said, those are those that when they have heard, go forth and they are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Notice those three things, those cares, riches, and pleasures. We might put it this way, problems, prosperity, and pleasures. You go through life and there are certain things that are going to happen to you. Suffering comes your way. And there are some people that when suffering comes their way, their faith in God becomes all the stronger. There are some people that say, the only way I can make it through suffering in life is to recognize that Jesus Christ makes every day bearable and gives me hope no matter what I'm going through. But there are other people, when suffering comes their way, they get bitter and they turn from the Lord. And so that suffering, the cares and the problems and the situations that they think about in life choke out the word. Maybe they're so consumed with the various things in life, they might not even be suffering. But it's various cares of making things happen in this world, or stresses of this world, or anxieties of this world that choke out God's word. And so problems in life can sometimes cause us to turn our focus from really hearing the word of God the way that we need to. Secondly, you have prosperity. These people are so rich, they don't need God. They don't need to really hear him and follow him and have him to be Lord of their lives. They're going to be Lord over their own lives. They don't need the Lord. Like those in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, in the church of Laodicea, do you remember that it said about them that they were neither hot nor cold? They were just kind of lukewarm. And they had these great industries that were happening in Laodicea. They had a lot of money that was pouring in. In fact, there was an earthquake that happened around AD 60, and they didn't even receive any governmental help from Rome to rebuild their city. They just rebuilt it with their own funds because they were that rich. They had that much prosperity. And so he says here, you say that I am rich, verse 17 of Revelation 3, and increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and do you not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? They didn't recognize how destitute they really were spiritually. They thought they didn't need anything. I don't need God, I don't need anything. They said, I'm rich and increased with goods. But then he said, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. You see, you can't buy the gold that God's talking about. That's the one that goes through tribulations and comes out more like God. That's the gold. There are certain people in the church that are gold that have gone through the fires, that have held on to the Lord even in trying times. Or white raiment. You can't buy that kind of white raiment. It's those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb that have white raiment. Or what about that the shame of your nakedness not appear, or anoint your eyes with eye salve. You see, they had a famous doctor of eye doctor there in Laodicea, and they sent this eye salve and sent it all over the world. But spiritually speaking, their eyes were cloudy. They weren't really seeing what the truth was. They needed God direly, and yet they thought they needed nothing. And that sometimes can be what happens when somebody has a lot of things in life. And so he says in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That is, be on fire for me, and not just think that you don't need anything. There are people that, maybe because of pleasures, they are going to have the word choked out. We hear about people in congregations that maybe had been participating in an affair for a year or two, and then it comes out. And these people, you know, they get up and they lead prayers or lead singing. They're there every Sunday. But they're participating, even with another person in the congregation I've heard of before, in these clandestine meetings of and having an affair. How can somebody do that for a year or two before it comes out? How can somebody go to church every Sunday and do that? You see, the Word of God is not getting in there because they're so concerned with the pleasures of this life. There are people that are focused on a certain pleasure or a certain sin that they want to follow, and they are so focused on that that when I'm up here talking about God's Word, or when Jerry's up here talking about God's Word, they won't let it in because they're choked with other things, other cares. And so they might be here in body, but they're not really taking God's Word to heart. And then finally, you have the good ground. You have those people that read God's Word every day. And every day when they look at God's Word, they look at it as if they've never looked at it before. They honestly consider what it's saying to them and what it means to their life. And they really take that Word in and they apply it to their lives. They let it fill them and fill their thinking, and they put it to practice in their lives. These are the good ground. These are the people that that Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, those that would be instructed by the preaching, that they would have repentance and acknowledging of the truth. That they acknowledge the truth that God says, and they turn their lives around, and they act accordingly. And because of that, they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, 100-fold is quite a crop, isn't it? In fact, there's no way that any of us could take one and have 100-fold from that without being tremendously blessed by God. You remember what happened with Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 12? Isaac sowed in that land, and he received the same year 100-fold. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. See, even at the end of the day, when we receive God's Word, take it into our lives and put it to practice and bring forth fruit, it's because the Lord has blessed us. Because God's Word is a blessing if we will allow it to enter our hearts and rule our lives. So what kind of soil are you? Tonight we have described four different kinds of soils. We've talked about people that are prejudiced, hard-hearted, the wayside soil. We've talked about people that are stony, that is, there's too much pressure, maybe in their family, maybe in people at work, maybe in the world, and they've given up really standing up for the truth. There are some people that are so concerned with the cares of this life, whatever it might be, or because they have riches, they have enough food to eat and clothes on their backs, and they've got a nice car and a nice house, and they don't really care about taking this to heart because they seem to be doing all right. Or maybe it's because of the pleasures of this life. You see, they're so focused on those things that they don't really allow God's Word to get in there because it's choked out by everything else that is out there in the world. Then you have those on the good ground. You have those that will really listen to God's Word, that will really take it to heart, that will really apply it, that are reading God's Word every day and praying to Him and trying to live the Christian life. And those are the ones that are blessed. Those are the ones that truly hear the Word of God. Let's let Jesus really sum it up for us Himself. You know, it says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken, even that which he seemeth to have, verse 18. And then you remember that his mother and his brethren came, and they couldn't get into him because of the press of people that was around him. And it was told him by certain that his mother and his brethren were standing without desiring to see him. And how does Jesus sum this all up? My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. So how's your hearing this evening? You know, in Jeremiah chapter 4, in verse 3, to those people that were hard-hearted or concerned about serving their idols or participating in the various sins, Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." That is, break up your heart. Make sure that your heart is receptive to God's word and get all the thorns out. Get all the, you know, it might even be something that is in itself not wrong, but it just takes too much of your time, too much of your focus, instead of really focusing on hearing God's word and doing it. We might have people that are here tonight that are like those that plant described in James 1, verse 11, when it says, "The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Maybe they first were on fire for the Lord, but because they have enough to eat and they are rich, and because it would be too much pressure to stand for the Lord and too much persecution would come to them and they might jeopardize the easy life that they would have, they won't stand up for him. We pray that each one of us would be good ground, that would really listen to God's word. Are you here tonight willing to be good ground? Are you ready to hear God's word? Are you willing to believe God's word? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Are you willing to turn from your sins and follow him? In Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said, "God commands all men everywhere to repent." Are you willing to confess your faith in Christ before men? Like Romans 10, verse 10 tells us, "With the mouth, confession is made to salvation." Are you willing to then be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins? You know, we started out tonight by talking about whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know before we ever call on the Lord, we have to hear. But once we hear the message, then we can call on the name of the Lord. And just like Paul was told by Ananias in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now, why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You can do that tonight. You can also, if you've done those things and wandered away, you can come back. And you can really listen to God's word, because it's going to make all of the difference in this life and in the life to come. And so whatever your need is, we pray that you will hear God's word and that you'll respond while together we stand and while we sing.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door. Abide with thee, door he rebuke and chasten. He shall with me abide. Sweetly the tone